Well, let's pivot to our next pericope of the month. It's 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 7. It is a revised common lectionary passage for the third Sunday in Easter, April the 14th. John, we'd be grateful if you'd read it for us, please.
Absolutely. See what kind of love the Father has given to us in that we should be called God's children. And that is what we are, because the world didn't recognize him. It doesn't recognize us. Dear friends, now we are God's children, and it hasn't yet appeared what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we'll see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, even as he is pure. Every person who practices sin commits an act of rebellion, and sin is rebellion. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and there is no sin in him. Every person who remains in relationship to him does not sin. Any person who sins has not yet seen him or known him. Little children, make sure that no one deceives you. The person who practices righteousness is righteous in the same way that Jesus is righteous.
Verse 2 heralds the children of God haven't appeared yet, as they will be. And as I was thinking about this, it reminded me of C.S. Lewis's great sermon, The Weight of Glory. And in that, in part, he wrote, there is no ordinary people, or there are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal, end quote. He furthers his case by saying, quote, next to the blessed sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses, end quote. Really? Can this be true, John?
Yeah, you know, I love that image of viewing every person you meet with this kind of holiness, the sanctification of almost like sunglasses that you could put on that would allow you to see them not just as who they are, but as who they are becoming and through who in Christ, who they will ultimately be. And, you know, there's a relational optimism that comes with that. There's an ability to believe the best about someone that ultimately would make me feel incredibly loved if someone treated me that way. If someone constantly gave me the benefit of the doubt, if they believed that I was a work in progress and not yet to be judged, so to speak. And you would hope that the church would be, you know, some of the best in the world at doing this. And yet I think it's one of the areas we really struggle. And part of it to me goes almost back to a theological starting point of whether we view those around us through the lens of Genesis 1 or Genesis 3. It's become very common in kind of evangelical world and kind of from a Reformed theology to start our anthropology from Genesis 3 and to believe that humans are inherently sinful and fallen and corrupt, and everything they do is, even if it looks good, it comes from a bad motivation, that we are sinners first and foremost in need of redemption. And yet that's not the origin story of humans. The origin story is Genesis 1, that we are made in the image of God, that we have inestimable worth, that everything about us cries out something about the nature of God that can be discovered and understood. And then after that, there was a fall. But I believe that there is still the potential to look at any human being around you and identify those traces of God's goodness in them, whether it's in their motivations or in their actions or even in their longings that they're not able to live out with perfection. And so what I hear, you know, in this text here is John inviting us to see the world not as it is, but as it will one day be, and to treat every person not as they are, but as Jesus would want them to be. In Brussels, even, I had a friend who I heard him using a phrase over and over again. He didn't call people Christians and non-Christians. And I finally said to him, you keep using this phrase. Why do you call people not yet followers of Jesus? Who are you talking about? You mean non-Christians? And he said to me, yeah, yeah. He goes, I used to use that phrase, non-Christians, but I realized it was kind of a binary inside-outside language. And I prefer to believe that Jesus is calling everyone to him and that they're on a journey. And I want to have an optimism towards that person, that what I see now is who they are now. And it's only because they are not yet a follower of Jesus. And so I thought, man, what an incredibly optimistic way of referring to someone who is not living a life that honors God. He's doing exactly what John says here, viewing them through the lens of who they will one day be. And what that does, I think, is gets to the C.S. Lewis quote. It kind of confers back on them the value of being made in the image of God, of being a sacred and holy individual who reflects God's presence in the world, even though that presence has a way of being corrupted and bent that is not perfect. Mm.
Yeah, I heard it said that love is the ability to see another person, not as you want them to be, but as they are, and offer them genuine warmth that they belong to the family of Christ. And it gets to the heart of a conversation I had with a friend over a meal a couple of days ago. And I was saying to him, you know, I think a good starting point with our neighbor is mutuality. And in mutuality, we see them as being people of dignity, of worth, of value. We respect them. We honor them. That's good. But I think to take it to the next level, to really embody the heart of our Lord is kinship, is seeing that we actually belong to the other, not separate, but we belong to the same family. And as you said, all of us are made in the image of God, and they too are included in his love, whether they recognize it or not. And to relate with people that way, that's my brother, my sister. They may not know it, but I know who they are. And it just transforms the way that you interact with people, even if they're not acting the way you want them to. I don't always act the way I want to. So somebody's going to have to show me grace over and over in my life, right? So it just seems to me we live in a very disconnected world, John, and we've got to do better. I mean, we're recording the day after the Kansas City Chiefs held their celebration parade for winning the Super Bowl, and there was a shooting. You know, someone died. Children are injured, gravely so. We're just so disconnected, and we don't see the value that God places on every human being, to our detriment, I think.
Yeah.